Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, on three Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, and explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, "This is Jesus whom I proclaim to you. This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Please be seated.
If you leave your Bible open to Acts chapter 17, that will be the basis for our sermon. As was just read in the introduction of Acts 17, Paul, as his custom, went to the synagogues and reasoned with the Jews and proclaimed Christ. And those who were contrary to the will of God, those who opposed Christianity, came to seek Paul. When they could not find him, they brought Jason. And they said, "These that have turned the world upside down have come here also." They have turned the world upside down by preaching the gospel of Christ. Those that they were talking about here were Christians. They have disrupted the world as it was known at that time so much that the statement was made that it was turned upside down. Because Christianity was growing. It was spreading. You read the book of Acts, and everywhere that Paul went, Christianity spread. Other Christians did the same, and it was growing all over the world. Now notice that it was Christians that they were talking about, turning the world upside down. What a powerful statement to be made. The lives that they were living, the gospel that they were preaching, was changing the world. It's a powerful statement. Could you imagine looking at the world today and seeing it completely change? See the growth and the spread of a religion and how it changed society. Morality is tied in with a lot of good beliefs in the world. Not all, but a lot. But the standard of Christianity is higher than anything else that you see in governing the way that people act and live. And to imagine looking at a world that's filled with idolatry, that's filled with fulfilling one's own desires above all else, and to see it changed into a world that's becoming followers of Christ, that it so affected the world that people sought them to kill them, shows the effectiveness that they had in preaching the gospel. So we continue in Acts 17. In verse 19, you see that they call the word that Paul is preaching a new doctrine. It's not something that they know. It's not something that they're familiar with. It's new to them. And this new doctrine is what is causing the world to be put in such turmoil that they said it was turned upside down. That Christianity is spreading so rapidly. It's changing what they know. We're going to see how they ridicule Paul and call him a babbler. We're going to see how the city was so full of sin and given to idolatry. We're going to look at Acts 17, 16 through 34. We're going to take away lessons from Paul's sermon there. Beginning in Acts 16, verses 16 and 17, you'll see the need for the sermon. You learn about the whole city. In Acts 17, beginning in verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, and he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentiles and the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." So the whole city was given over to idolatry. He went out. He went to the synagogue. You can compare that today. You know, he went to people who had a belief in God. Not people who believed in Christianity, not people who believed in Christ, but people who believed in God and were still holding to the Old Testament law. I would compare that today for somebody to go to a church that doesn't teach the truth. They believe in God, but they don't believe the truth. So let's go and let's reason with them. We already have a starting point. But he not only did that, he went to the marketplace, and anybody that would give him ear, he talked to them. He preached Christ wherever he was. He went to all throughout Athens preaching the gospel, the synagogue, the marketplace, wherever the opportunity arose. I find it interesting the way that the scripture words are there, that he was provoked because he looked at the city and saw that it was wholly given to idolatry. Some people look at the world and they see the need, and they're just moved to do something about it. And that was Paul when it came to preaching the gospel of Christ. He looked at the world. He saw in Athens the sin that was there and how prevalent it was, and said, "There's work for me to do here." He was waiting for his fellow companions that he had been traveling with, Silas and Timothy, to catch up to him. But hey, instead of getting a little R&R, let's get in a little work. So he began to preach the gospel. If ever there was a mission field, Athens was it. You know, I have the fortune of being on the missions committee here at West Huntsville. You see, from doing that work, we get to talk to people and meet people and see things in different parts of the world that otherwise I never would know. And you see that the need for the gospel in other countries. Athens was a place that needed a missionary. And Paul was that missionary. He was there to preach the gospel. In Acts 17, 18 through 21, we learn about the people that were there, the audience of the sermon. It says, "Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him, and they brought him to Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Now, in Acts 17 there, when it starts talking about the identity of the crowd being the Epicureans and the Stoics, that was your two main philosophical thoughts of the day. the Epicurean believed that everything was governed by physical law. The best way to achieve happiness and pleasure was to submit to these laws of nature, to simply live virtuously without burdening oneself with worldly cares and doing everything to avoid physical pain. The Epicureans believed that if there was a God, that he was not near. He was far off. They did not worry about faith. The Stoics, on the other hand, believed that God was everywhere. They believed in nature, in the universe, and in man, and therefore to live in harmony with the universe, and one should strive to godly perfection of character and of submission to the divine will. And this was achieved through self-control. Man conquered the world by conquering himself. Evil happened when man allowed passion to control him. So you have the philosophers of the day. This is their philosophical thought. And we're learning here that the people that Paul has encountered are educated. They are of the intellectual mindset. And they come to him and they ask him, you know, what does this babbler want to say? They insult him. They call him a babbler. Because he spoke something that was foreign to them. They ridiculed him. They insulted him because he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. They think it's crazy. They don't understand it. They don't believe it. So it's got to be nonsense, right? In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." When they made fun of him, when they ridiculed him, I just can't see Paul wincing. I don't see him flinching. I don't see him backing down. I believe he stands strong and continues to preach the gospel. He didn't back down. Verses 22 through 23. You have kind of an introduction. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious." If you read the King James, if you read the New King James, it says religious. You're too superstitious or you're too religious. He said, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, when I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship ignorantly, him I declare unto you." You see, if you have the opportunity and you study Acts 17, this is what I recommend. Go online and look at the ancient city of Athens. Look at the temples that were there. Look at the statues that were there. Study the history and the culture. And you see that they are very religious. They're very superstitious. They have gods to everything. They have an idol to this god, and then they have an idol to another god. And Paul said, "As I walk through and I behold your idols and I behold your gods and I see that you are worshiping every god imaginable. I see this also. You have an idol that says to the unknown God. Paul said, let me tell you about that God. Let me preach on this God. The God that you don't know about, the God that you ignorantly worship, Him I declare unto you. Paul is going to preach the gospel. In verses 24 through 31, he says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of all things, or of all this, to all by raising him from the dead. So they ridiculed him about the resurrection of Christ, and he goes on to give them a little lesson. So he gives them a history lesson first. He has really two points to his lesson. He gives them a history lesson. He tells them that we were all created by God. We go back to Genesis chapter 1. Glenn gets up and does the kids sing and says the creation of the earth, and they say Genesis 1, right? We understand that. We know that. All things were created by him. He created, he gave. We know that nothing was created without him. He tells them we're created by God, and he wasn't created, and he doesn't dwell in a house made with man's hands. You know why he says that? Because they make their idols. They sculpt their idols. Their gods they created with their own hands. This God does not dwell in a house made by hands. He dwells in heaven. And he tells them that we're all the offspring of God. We're all his offspring. We were created by him in his image to dwell on this earth and to worship him. Then he gives a lesson about the present. He did his history lesson. Then he gives us a lesson about the present. In verse 27, he says that we should seek him. He's not far from us. Remember, we talk about the Epicureans and the Stoics and saying the Stoics had the philosophy that God was all around us. He was everywhere in nature, in man, in the universe. But the Epicureans said God was way over there. And he wouldn't bother us. It was not something to be worried about. He said he's not far from every one of us. You know, you look at Matthew 6:33, where we should seek the kingdom of God. Or 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, where it says, flee from idolatry. He's telling them the things that y'all do, the way that y'all live is inconsistent with the Word of God. In verse 30, he said we should repent of our sins and turn away from them. You know, at one point, God winked at ignorance, but now commands man everywhere to repent. Verse 31, he says, God will judge us through that resurrection that you so kindly mocked. This is what we have of the lesson that he gave that day. He put forth their own intellect. He took from them and used it to make his own lesson. They ridiculed him. They mocked him about the resurrection of Christ. Talks about God not being far from us, taking from their own philosophy. He gave them a history lesson and a lesson in the present. God is here. God will judge. It's time to repent. Let's look at some of the reactions, verses 32 through 33. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. So you have some that are going to mock him. Have you ever heard of an individual preaching a gospel lesson from the scripture? And when they're done with it, somebody has objection to it. They confront them about it. They make fun of them. Because it goes contrary to the way that they want to live. I've heard so much as a preacher gets up and preaches on adultery and then gets punched as somebody's exiting the auditorium because that person was in an affair. And the preacher had offended them in what they said. When you talk about Christianity to other people, there are going to be people that make fun of you because they don't believe in God. There are going to be people who reject you because they think it's ridiculous. That's what they did here. This babbler and this new doctrine, let's ask them to speak more to us. Let's carry them somewhere and let's have them talk to us. And he did. He told them about God who created us. And that God will judge us and we need to repent of our sins. He told them. They asked him. But they didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like what they heard. It didn't tickle their ears, so they mocked him. Some delayed, saying they wanted to hear more. And as always, that's the case. You have some people, if you ever have Bible studies with people, and you sit down and you go over the scriptures, and maybe they are of a denomination, and you're studying with them, and they see what you have to say, and some of it makes sense, and the lights start to click. A lot of times they become standoffish and say, "Well, we'll revisit that later." You know, some of them heard what Paul said, and I need to hear more. They delay. And then you'll have others that will believe. And they'll be baptized. As you go through the book of Acts, you see all throughout that there were those who rejected the gospel, those who obeyed the gospel, and those who delayed the gospel. Some will believe, some won't. So let's think about what this means today. Paul and others like him in Acts 17 and verse 6 had a statement said about him and about Christians that they had turned the world upside down. When I see that statement, when I read that, I just try to think of how powerful that is. That somebody said, They have turned the world upside down. They were successful. When Paul came to Athens, he was only there waiting for Silas and Timothy. But he was pricked in his heart and he saw the opportunity for a superstitious group of people live there. And he said, you know what? I perceive in all things that you're far too superstitious. And this unknown God whom you ignorantly worship, let me preach about him. He took the opportunity. The question I have is, can we do the same thing? Can we turn the world upside down? Can we be so evangelical that people see a difference because of us? You think of countries who have outlawed Christianity because they have either a different type of religious belief there, Muslim, Hinduism, or maybe a state-style government, which they do not believe in Christianity, and it becomes a hindrance. You know why they have to outlaw it? Because when it starts there, it grows. And it becomes a problem, and it turns their world upside down. So you have to outlaw it. You have to drive it underground, because it'll become a problem. I want you to think about Acts 17:6 this week and think about opportunities that you might have to turn the world upside down. I know that I'm not talking about the entire United States or even Alabama or Madison County or Huntsville. But there have to be those in your life that you can influence and turn their world upside down by bringing them to Christ. By taking the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Like I said, Paul went to the synagogues where he would find like-minded people. But not just there, he went everywhere. In the same sense that Athens was consumed with idolatry, we see that too today. We may not have the actual idols, the row of idols that he walked by. You know, I've heard of Mars Hill, and I've studied about it some. And I've had it described to me this way, that as you would walk down the walkway, that there would be an idol to a god of fertility, an idol to the god of harvest, an idol to the god of the moon, an idol to the unknown god. Just in case we forgot a god, you know, we don't want to offend them, so we'll sacrifice to this god every once in a while. They believed in gods for everything. I think our society believes the same way, right? The god of money, the god of power, the things that we put before our Christianity have become idols in and to themselves. So we see idolatry. It may not be in the form of graven idols, but we see idolatry in America today. So if you're a Christian, somebody asks you, hey, what's this Christianity that you're speaking of? You know, when Paul was in Athens, they said, what's this new doctrine that you speak of? Will others hear you, will see you, the way that you live, and will they ask you, hey, what's this that you're talking about? They have to know about it, to ask about it. Paul stood there in the midst of Mars Hill and began to preach to them. When I read that text, I just get goosebumps when I read about to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. You know, when Brother Andrews gets up and speaks sometimes, he'll paint a picture and take you back in time with him and kind of try to set the mood as if you're there and you see what's going on. And when I read this, I just sit back and I look and I think, wow, if I could just sit there and listen to Paul on this occasion, how powerful this lesson would be and what would be said. And you can just feel the passion when he says, "Him I declare unto you." He said, "God, let me tell you about him." They turn the world upside down. Being a Christian does that. Being a Christian has a tendency of turning everything upside down for people who don't want to be Christians. They don't want to deal with the morality. They don't want to deal with what is required to be a Christian because it interferes with it. It's not what they want. So when Christianity grows, when it spreads, it changes culture. It changes the world. They turn the world upside down. Are you a Christian? If you're not and you need to become a Christian, you know what the Bible says, you know the Word of God, we will help you with that. We will bury you in baptism with Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a Christian and you've gone astray and you need the prayers of the congregation to help you, to encourage you, we'll pray with you tonight.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.